keep in mind, particularly the name Ed Butler, the one of the triumvirate who were interviewing Lee Harvey Oswald, because in future broadcasts of the Guns of November and then the succeeding three, we're going to come back to Ed Butler. He's a very important figure.
Okay, one of the other key things to remember, and we're going to get into some of these coincidences of timing even more, but just in passing, since Dave mentioned it, it should be important to note that by the time that Lee Harvey Oswald had only been even mentioned in the public airwaves as a possible assassin of John F. Kennedy at like 6 o'clock, I think, on the evening of the assassination, or somewhere about that time in the early evening, and yet within a matter of maybe an hour and a half, there were people broadcasting this tape in several different locations all over the country. It was an extremely rapid way for this particular tape of Lee Harvey Oswald, a very obscure person by anybody's rights, even if the fact that being a pro-communist was fairly individual in those days. I mean, a very obscure person on a very obscure radio station, yet heard all over the country within a matter of practically minutes of his being announced as being a possible assassin.
Yeah, it was the wire services carried Oswald as a suspect by mid-afternoon. So it was a few hours, but still, it was remarkable distribution. And certainly the comment by Carlos Bringuier there would be an interesting thing to hear the evening that Oswald had supposedly killed the president.
Indeed. Now, before we go to the telephones, let me just run back down a couple of other things real quickly, and I think Dave will want to pitch in here too. As far as what we've heard tonight and what we're leading you up to with next week's show before we go to the telephones, and what we've seen is not only a Central Intelligence Service basically almost completely devoid from the elected power structure, and especially from the president. We have noticed a Central Intelligence Service not only devoid and removed from the president, but in the case of John F. Kennedy, apparently actively opposed, and to the point of deep-sixing their own operations. We have seen a CIA and mafia connection so strong that the CIA was hiring the mafia to kill America's enemies. And we have seen connections between those two so strong that one mafiosa claimed that the gangster bosses were able to in fact kill John F. Kennedy. We've seen the bitter hostility aroused by the Bay of Pigs, an operation that has been, whose failure has been laid at the feet of John F. Kennedy, although people in the midst of the controversy with in a position to know have indeed claimed that the CIA deep-sixed it themselves. And lastly, we have seen Lee Harvey Oswald, an obscure Marine, defecting to the Soviet Union untouched, claiming to be about to spill the beans on America's military secrets, being allowed back into the country without so much as a second thought, settling down with a bunch of right-wing czarist white Russian anti-communists, traveling around the country, painting himself as a Marxist with absolutely no backing in terms of anybody else in his group, managing to get on a radio station and be interviewed by, among other people, two other gentlemen of extreme right-wing nature with contacts to the CIA, where he can proclaim to the world that he is, in fact, a Marxist.
This an individual who had supposedly committed espionage against the United States and who, although it was not to become public later, was being, at least in some circles, blamed for the failure of the U-2 and the deep-sixing of the summit conference between Khrushchev and Eisenhower. And as we've seen also, very importantly, with that charge of Oswald's complicity in the U-2 disaster, we have Oswald being, in essence, blamed for something which he could not possibly have been responsible for. So, again, we see a pattern which is to emerge much larger, in much larger and more important fashion, with the Kennedy assassination. Also, keep in mind that the person to whom Fletcher Prouty attributes the Bay of Pigs failure, Charles Cabell, basically his brother was mayor of Dallas, and he was one of the fellows who recruited the mafiosi to kill Castro, and as we've seen, according to at least one of them, they wound up operating against Kennedy. And recall what happened when the Senate Intelligence Committee began investigating this connection. Three of the principals were murdered, and the FBI refused to investigate those murders.
All right. Some of the antecedents historically for the Kennedy assassination, the Cold War, the position of the CIA, the Mafia, et cetera, et cetera. And we're going to be detailing in the following 3 weeks in the information sections the actual assassination itself and its ramifications. We're just about to open the phones up. We still have one line left open at 415-941-2500. And before we go to those phones, Dave has a little something else he wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I just want to mention very briefly that
something that we, in fact, did not have time, because we want to get you folks on the air. As a matter of fact, we had it all set into the program, but as I mentioned earlier, we've got so much information, we decided to jettison this last little bit just to get you folks on.
One thing we have, we initially had on tap for you, is basically a connection between elements of basically American political elements that were incredibly bitter about Kennedy's very strong support for civil rights, notably Martin Luther King's efforts in the South in the early in the early 60s. Kennedy, on two occasions, called in federal troops to support civil rights acts and civil rights actions, and this engendered a tremendous amount of hostility on the part of reactionary elements around the country. And one of the things that we were going to read to you was a portion of a transcript of an interview between an undercover Miami police informant and a states' rights activist, which discussed not only plans to kill President Kennedy from ambush, bringing a disassembling a high-powered rifle and shooting him from ambush in that building, which of course is, according to the official version of the assassination, what happened, but it also discusses that basically the real marksman would escape while a patsy was fingered and thrown in jail. And interestingly enough, it linked, in the same discussion were, the same discussion as plans to kill Kennedy, they discussed plans to kill Martin Luther King and also talked about the bombing of a church in Birmingham, Alabama in September of 1963, in which four little girls died. It was a very famous incident in the course of the civil rights struggles of the 60s, and the same individuals here who were talking about killing Kennedy and Martin Luther King were also discussing who and how the Birmingham bombing occurred. Apparently it was attributed to the use of plastic explosives. So again, there is yet another Kennedy policy, and this was by no means, that there are others that we haven't discussed, that engendered not only tremendous hostility, but also led many of the elements opposed to him to threaten Kennedy with death. So there are other things that we haven't had a chance to present. If you'd like to talk about them, you know, give us a call and we can do just that.
All right, very good. And now we do have the phones loaded up.